This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, guess what?
What'd it do?
It's never too early to play holiday music. Deck the halls with Manscaped products. Fa la 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 la. It's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use a Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you, Conan. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for free shipping and 20% off. Now, Manscaped is our favorite product, and they've been one of our advertisers for years.
Yeah.
The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0, this is the best thing, is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. It has everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. And the Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling Performance Package Plus: Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and Ultra Premium Deodorant. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. The Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer, the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. There's also a 4,000K LED light on it, so you can light the way like Rudolph the Red Nose. Dude, do you think that people calling me Rudolph when I was a kid because I had a big nose is body shaming?
No.
Now that you've groomed your candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the Platinum Package shower products. All of Manscaped shower gear is sulfate-free, vegan, and made to have your skin feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. But smelling good doesn't stop at the shower. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and One Crop Reviver Ball Toner can solve stank problems all day long. Joe, you should be interested in that.
Absolutely.
And once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. The Platinum Package 4.0 is sitting under the tree and is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new body buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than an old loofah. So basically, you get the shampoo, conditioner, everything. They give you everything you need. You don't need anything else, soap included. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code K100. That's MANSEAPED.com and K100. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
Without a doubt, and I've said this before, and I think Disco agrees with me, and I just ordered half a dozen. Probably the most comfortable boxers I've ever worn in my life. They're these black boxer briefs that are really sweet.
Yes.
So, bro, they take care of you, man. They really do take care of you. It's worth it. You know, order it. Stay clean. Be hygienic. Everything at manscaped.com. Happy holidays. Boom.
All right. So next is from Josh Doan. And the subject is, can we finally forgive Bruce Mitchell for asking questions?
What?
Why is Bruce Mitchell still canceled? What was his crime? He questioned everything in the WWF and WCW for over 30 years. Then he had the nerve to question AEW's version on Brody Lee, and he's canceled. Meltzer and Keller even dropped their trusted friend for 30 years. We can't even get the facts of what happened during the Punk Elite Scrum investigations. So why should we expect AEW to let us know what happened with Brody after they knowingly kept his health secret for weeks? My only contention on, like, I didn't care that. You know, like I know AEW, like Tony Khan is mad at me because he thinks I was taking the position that, like, I'm questioning the Brody Lee story. Okay.
Right.
But my contention was that you can't cancel Bruce Mitchell for asking questions. That was my take on the take. I think canceling Bruce Mitchell for simply asking questions when they weren't being completely transparent, because basically what they had said was, he had a lung thing, it's not COVID. But then they didn't tell us exactly what it was. So I was like, so what, you know, that's not outside the box for a journalist that says, okay, hey, well, what is it then? And he got canceled. I got beat up for saying, why are you canceling Bruce Mitchell for asking? The guy's a journalist, he's asking questions. And then my other take was on this thing is, like, you know, because the thing was the wife had made the statement, had issued the statement. And then my take was, wait a second, you know, okay. And I get it that she made a statement and she wants the privacy respected, but, like, you know, Rebbie Hardy had said, you know, that basically her husband had gotten a concussion, you know, weeks before, 1,000%. And then you guys were on TV, in Scrum saying that he did not have a concussion. So why is, like, well, wait, one wife is to be trusted, the other wife is not to be. I just don't, the whole way journalism was done in these situations journalism failed when those situations with AEW. Okay, now that's what I was saying. I was questioning why the mob, you know, got after Bruce Mitchell for asking questions. And that's all he did. When I thought that was terrible, if the guy got canceled for that. And I'm not even friends with the guy. I just like looking at a journal of defending journalism, you know. So whatever.
I didn't know he was canceled.
Meltzer tried to bring it back, and then people got mad. You know, so
the torch fired him a few days after the article.
So let me tell you my Bruce Mitchell story and what I think about him and this thing. When I used to do wrestling in Tijuana in the '90s. I'm going to tell you this, and I didn't even remember this till today. Mike Tenay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Meltzer, Bruce Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
I think his name was Paul Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd always have one or two guys with them, would go to my TJ shows. And then afterwards, I'd chop it up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times I walked in with them to some places where I frequented, and I was like, people are like, who are these fucking geeks? And I was like, oh, they're just some friends. And they're like, from where? Like, that's not the type of people you hang out with. And I go, oh, they're from wrestling. Oh, yeah, you're trying to get into wrestling. And I was like, yeah. And they actually told me this back then. He goes, if that's the type of people that like wrestling, you're going to be a star. And I go, well, I hope so. But all those guys used to go to my wrestling shows, and half of them, not half, because I don't even really follow any of them, but some of them, you know, bury me to this day, including Wade Keller. And it doesn't surprise me Wade Keller turned his back on Bruce. I always thought Bruce was smart, engaging, and controversial, which are three things I like in somebody that I listen to.
Yeah, he had some very weird. He was, like you said, he had a lot of balls, like a lot of stuff he wrote.
Right.
I remember there's one thing he was talking about, how the professional wrestling is predicated on like homoeroticism.
Right.
Right. It was like, so it was like, it's kind of a weird, he's not afraid to say controversial things, you know, right. which makes him interesting.
And I like
you know?
That.
Yeah.
Because everybody's afraid to.
Yeah. Next is from Steve Haig, and the subject is The Walking Dead. What's up, crew? The Walking Dead ended recently. I was just wondering what you guys thought about the show. Did you watch the show and have any favorite characters and moments? I didn't watch it. Did any of you guys watch Walking Dead?
Conan?
Well, here's the thing with me and The Walking Dead. I was a big, big, big zombie fan when I was a kid. I remember this guy called, very popular. What's the guy that did the first zombie movies?
George Romero.
Romero, right. Those movies, they used to play them here in Miami, and you could, and they were really cheap. Like, I remember every Saturday I would walk to the theater really early, and I would spend like 10 hours in the movie theater, sneaking from theater to theater. And it would always be like a dollar, you know, fucking, and it would always be two good movies. Like, you know, like fucking something like, what's a movie? Like
Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
This movie, yeah.
Right. Night of the Living Dead and like Shaft and a lot of Chinese movies. I watched a lot of Chinese movies, and I was a big zombie fan, really big. But when I started watching Night of the Living Dead, I was like, it's the same shit. Nobody has any really special powers. All they do is walk slow, and they're fucking not that exciting. And I got bored quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The books were really good, you know, and that happens a lot, obviously, where the books or the source material is better than what they put out. But by the time they came to their big scene where the character Negan came in, who was huge and who he was going to kill, and they had a big war scenario after that, it just fell off. It stopped being about the story, and it just became like gunfight, 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 zombie, zombie, gunfight. It just shit the bed, and they got rid of a lot of people's favorite characters, you know. By the end, I think there was only Daryl and the chick, really, and Negan, but everybody else is gone. Even the guy Rick, that was the top character, was taken out.
Next is from Brandon Davis, and the subject is MJF title reign. What's up, K100 crew? In the last little bit, we've noticed how MJF can work a crowd for any type of reaction he wants. I honestly feel like his work is adjacent to heels of the old days by the way he carries kayfabe. I hope you enjoy seeing wrestlers sell, and MJF is phenomenal at that. Or I know you enjoy seeing wrestlers sell, and MJF is phenomenal at that. My question is, do you think MJF will be champ for a while, or do you think they'll pull it off of him quick? Brandon Davis. Yes, I think he'll be champ for a while.
Yeah, you think he has to be champ for a while. If they pull it off him quick, that's going to be such a just dead ending. I mean, they've been building up to when's he going to go for the title for 3 years. You know, you can't just pull it right off him. He's got to have it until they have the right challenger to take it from him.
Any comment, Conan?
Nah, he's the best.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Bro.
Yeah. Next is from Dave Johnson. The subject is World Cup 1986. Hey, K100 crew. Some consider Maradona's performance in the 1986 World Cup as the greatest performance ever in soccer. Conan Disco, do you have any memories of the 1986 World Cup? Would you agree that Maradona's playing the entire tournament was the greatest of all time? Thank you. Bro, that's 36 years ago. I do not remember that.
That's the one where they hit him in the hand.
In the hand of God, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Okay, like what do you remember? Anything that
not really from '86? Not, you know, he's a great player, but I just don't remember any specific.
I think he meant of all time.
Yeah, of all time.
I mean, I don't remember it, so how can I comment on it?
All right.
Yeah. I don't know the best. I don't know who is the best World Cup performance of all time. I don't. Yeah. You know.
Well, I'll tell you a performance that freaked me out, and I saw it on video in like 1960. I saw Pelé, who was only like 17, Disco. Listen to this, 17. And he scored a hat trick in the semifinals against France. And then like the next game, he did it again.
Who is this?
Pelé from Brazil.
Right, yeah.
Bro, you've got to see that dude.
Well, I grew up watching Pelé because I like the New York Cosmos.
Yeah, someone he was on the Cosmos, but he was older and he wasn't really
right.
You know, Pelé, and he had zero charisma because he spoke very
bad. I used to like my favorite English players were Giorgio Canalia and Roberto Cabanas for the New York Cosmos. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They had some good teams, remember?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they remember they had Franz Beckenbauer and Pelé. They had all these guys.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
They had like A-list guys.
Right.
So next is from Ganda Chanko. The subject is Ronda just not good enough. Hey, K100 crew, hope you're all doing well. One thing Logan Paul coming in has done is it has raised the expectations of crossover athletes. With that being said, it's time to end this Ronda experiment. Ronda is a big mainstream name, but her performance does nothing to generate interest from mainstream or casual fans. Her promos suck. Her work ranges from good to bad, depending on who she works with. And I know she's a mom, but her look hasn't done her any favors. Her choice of outfits and ring gear, I guess, would be desired. And Ronda is an attractive girl, and she still looks like a badass and have sex appeal. Should WWE just cut ties after Becky beats her at Mania, or would she benefit from working part-time as an attraction? Ronda's getting a lot of hate this week because the spot was Shotzi, where Shotzi wanted to do a dumb spot, and Ronda didn't want to participate in it because she could have gotten hurt, and then everybody blamed Ronda.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, Ronda came. But Ronda's definitely much better. Like, we didn't like Ronda as a babyface. She was miscast. No. She's definitely a far better character as a heel. I mean, she's actually a pretty good character with her and Shayna. Going around being bullies to people and stuff, everything. That's I like Ronda's new gimmick, the way she's doing this. Did you agree?
Yeah, we trashed her really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I hated Ronda, and I love her now. I think she's comfortable. She's great. She needs to be a heel because she doesn't know how to take criticism as a babyface. Maybe next go round she'll learn. Her work is great. Her mic work is really good. And she's an asset, bro. You know, she's an asset. And if she didn't want to do something with Shotzi, tough shit, do something else.
Right. Yeah.
Next is from Woven 1226, and the subject is Kane Velasquez. What up, K crew? Got a question for Conan. How did Triple A go about booking Kane? Did you guys reach out to him or vice versa? Also, is there any concern booking him considering his unjust legal battle he's experiencing? Thanks for the content. That's from Mark Rosales.
Well, while he was incarcerated, he kept in touch with my boss Dorian Roldan and with his right hand man, and his lawyer did too. I couldn't get a hold of him, so I really just wasn't even talking with him. I just thought, fuck, poor guy. If he gets out, you know, we'll use him again. And if he doesn't, you know, what can you do? And then next thing I know, they were like, yeah, guess what? Kane is going to get out. And so they, I guess they told him, you know, do they want to come work the show? Because he's from Arizona. And he said, yeah. And then Kane called me yesterday or the day before yesterday, and we had a really good talk. Still humble, still cool, still wants to get into wrestling. You know, I'm going to get him on the show so he can talk to us a little bit of his ordeal. Mm. But I had nothing to do with that. This I had nothing to do with, but I thought it was a good coup for us.
Next is some Roland Bonet, and the subject is Raw's 30th anniversary. Hey, guys. With the Raw 30th anniversary fast approaching, I find myself both excited and also concerned. Excited for what could be, but concerned for what probably will be. What could be is the most anticipated Raw in history with former and current stars intertwined on the road to WrestleMania. What probably will be are 100 pointless backstage segments, including an APA poker game, and ending in a DX promo or Stone Cold beer bath. Which direction do you think Triple H will go? And Disco Conan, could you ask Kevin Nash if he'd be down to put on the black shades and stand as bouncer as HBK hosts a special edition of the Heartbreak Hotel? What could be? All right, we'll not ask Kevin Nash to do that. I don't know. I haven't even thought about this Raw 30th anniversary coming up yet.
Yeah, it's in Philly, so I was thinking about maybe going, but this guy has a point. It's the same thing you guys complain about, where every time they have an anniversary show or whatever, it's the same people. They do the same thing, the same Ted DiBiase and Slaughter and this and that. If they could do something a little different, you know, I mean, we've seen a million DX reunions now, and I don't know. I think it'll probably be fun. Everyone likes nostalgia, but I just like to see them do something a little different, bring back some different guys.
I agree with that 100%.
Next is from Julius Bears M, and the subject is protection measures. Thanks for keeping it 100. To Conan, you mentioned most promotions create measures of protection, such as the wellness protocol's reaction. Do you feel promotions should be more proactive with protection measures to not only protect talent, but also protect their promotion, and why so? That's from Bears.
Yes.
All right. And the next one's from Slasher Radio, and the subject is Bray. Hey, guys. Heard you guys being down on Bray's return. Although some critiques are definitely valid, as a horror connoisseur, I think you're missing something with this. During Bray's absence with WWE Wrestling, there were rumors he was involving himself with movies, film, and has also stayed close with Jason Baker and horror icon Tom Savini. I believe he's going for a common film term called a slow burn. Do you think maybe you're being a little bit harsh? I feel Bray has finally been able to do this how he wants, and he's given us a true story in movie form. I don't watch wrestling at all anymore, and only on YouTube this Bray stuff. Thanks for the hard work, and that's from the Slasher Radio guys. The Bray stuff is we talked about the Bray thing was getting boring because it was getting boring, but now they got LA Knight interject everything, and it's more interesting now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's they're getting he's in a feud with somebody now. He's got a personal issue, so that's what I was saying. Like, I didn't think it could go many more weeks without him having a personal issue with another character on the show just by just doing his promos by himself. That was getting stale. So,
yeah, picked up a lot since LA Knight's been interjected into it.
Right.
I was the same way, where his promos and then the things would pop up on the screen or it would go to black real quick. That was fine the first time, but when you do it a few times in a row and it's not moving along, you get bored.
Right. Any comment, Conan?
I agree.
All right. Next is from Anthony Hunt. Subject is Monday Night War question. K100, greetings, big fan of the show. You guys dominated the Monday Night War. My question is, what lessons could AEW learn from that era to be more successful now? I know it's impossible to out to WWE, but I think it could be a great alternative for old school wrestling fans. That's from Anthony Hunt.
Hmm.
What lessons could AEW? I mean, bro, you don't listen to Anthony. We do a review of that show every single week, and we talk about this stuff every single week.
Hmm.
I mean, you know. Actually, that's kind of like, you know, I should suspend him for that. Because that's somebody that's sending questions and doesn't listen to the show.
Right. You've suspended Anthony for grammar before as well.
Yeah, let's suspend him again for a month for that question. Next is from Blade, and the subject is, are the rumors true? Is K100 breaking up because Conan is butthurt that Disco never wants to hang out besides the podcast? Thanks from your Triple A champion, El Hijo de Adicto a la Fier. El Hijo Addicto a la Filler. Oh, my God. Is that addicted to the Blade?
Block him.
Wow.
Yeah, he's blocked. Nice. Yeah, that's a permanent. Let's do a permanent ban on this guy, Blade.
See you, yep. Blade.
Yeah, permanent ban. Next
that is
from,
true.
Yeah. Some Gondo Chanko. The subject is Style Bender versus the Viper. Good day, K100. Hope you're all doing well. I know this will be a good one for Hughie on YouTube. As you guys are aware, Israel Adesanya is one of the bigger names in the UFC and recently became the second highest paid star in the roster. However, he's also a noted WWE fan. He even used, bro, this guy sends these questions and like we have no clue like what he's talking about. He even used the Undertaker as inspiration for his entrance for his fight with Cannoneer. Unfortunately, the fight sucked, but he was asked if he wanted to go to the WWE one day, and his answer was yes, only if he could do a match with Randy Orton. Randy Orton is a top guy with a mainstream name and has been on top for almost 20 years. How big of a match do you think this could be, and do you think there's a way to do that match without making either guy look bad? Absolutely is a way to do that. You never know. Some of these guys that are big wrestling fans kind of know how to work a little bit before they ever get in the business. Like they could, some of them throw good punches and stuff, you know, and something. So maybe if he doesn't like if he's as good, if he's half as good as Logan Paul,
mm-hmm.
that could work. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yep.
Yeah. I'd say the size difference might make it look a little weird, but then
he can
again,
put weight on. The guy can get up to like 210, 215 pounds.
Plus Mayweather had a match with Big Show that was very entertaining. And that was right. A massive size difference. So.
Right. Next is from the last one from David Barnett. The subject is Aubrey Edwards. Hey, K100 crew. I was watching Full Gear this past week and noticed that AW referee Aubrey Edwards was wearing super bright and loud makeup while refereeing. At a couple points during the match, I found that my eyes were drawn to her face as opposed to the in-ring action. A while back, I remember hearing Bruce Prichard say in his podcast that one of the fundamental goals of being a ref is that you never draw attention away from the wrestlers. I did some digging and found that Aubrey once tweeted, "I wear bright lipstick for matches that have significant meaning." This time around, she even added on some neon blue sparkle eyeshadow for good measure. Apparently, this has been an issue for about 2 years ago when some fans had been complaining about it. However, this just came to my attention. When she was questioned about it on a podcast and totally blew it off and dismissed her critics by saying, "There's always a really vocal minority, the ones that are behind the keyboards that are very, oh, I don't like this, blah, 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 blah." I believe she's diverting the point by not addressing the legitimate issue. The bottom line is that making oneself up like that can only be done with the intention of drawing attention to yourself, which she proved even more this past week by wearing even flashier makeup than she has before. Personally, I think it's disrespectful and arrogant to have had the reaction she had to her initial criticism. My question is this: am I justified in taking issue with her actions, or is it not a big deal and I'm not and I'm just being overly critical? And that's from David Barnett. She tries to draw attention to herself all the time, like even when the way she works, like
her
she tries to get in the middle. Yeah, she's totally like this.
Very
it's
over
not
the
surprising
top.
At all. Yeah, she's super over the top. Tries to get you know, does a lot of acting in there and stuff. She does try to draw attention to herself.
If the wrestlers are having a face off, she constantly smushes her face in between them. You know,
right. She's trying to get herself over.
Yeah,
you know, do you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah, I know. What's her name? Aubrey.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey Edwards.
Yeah, I agree that. You shouldn't take attention away from the wrestlers, and I've always agreed that. And she does take attention away from the wrestlers, but she people want to be famous. She wants to brand herself too, you know. So I see nothing wrong with it.
That's been our mailbag.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.